This is an Asian Pop Radio podcast. Hear more by subscribing to Asian Pop Radio on iTunes or head to asianpopradio.com to see more.
Angel Eye hits 24/7. This is Asian Pop Radio and Jay John with you in the studio. Very excited to say that I have part of the media marketing team at Indonesian Film Festival Australia. It's Ralph Dudat. How are you going, Ralph?
Good, thanks.
Did I pronounce your surname properly? I've known you for a long time now and I should know better.
No, that's perfect.
That's good. Well, can you believe that it's already time for Indonesian Film Festival once again?
Yes.
Yes, you can.
I can feel it in my bones.
He's actually rocking back and forward. You can't see at this point. It's a podcast. You can't see. Let's get started, Roel. Firstly, can you give us a bit of an overview on how long the festival has been around and when it got started?
The very first one was in 2002. It was actually started by a media tycoon who had this vision to promote the Indonesian film industry. The Indonesian Film Festival started in 2002. It was actually begun by a media tycoon who had this vision to promote the Indonesian film industry to the international market. He ran it for 1 year, only in 2002. And then it just faded away for a while. Nobody else picked it up.
Right.
But then in 2006, the Melbourne University Indonesian Student Association picked it up again.
Okay.
And it's been running annually ever since.
So what was his main motivation to get that started? Was it that he was passionate about Indonesian film and he thought more people should know about it? Or did he feel that there was a lack of representation there?
The media tycoon?
Yeah.
He was quoted as stating, whoever controls the media controls politics.
Right.
So it may have been that he wanted to expand his empire, the same as Fox Studios was
right.
Bought up by a certain media tycoon.
Okay. And so was he in Indonesia or was he in a businessman
here? Indonesian businessman, yes.
Right. Based in Australia or based in
India? Based in Jakarta.
Obviously, so many developed film festivals around the world. I mean, we've got Japanese film festival here. The Korean film festival is hugely popular these days. How many different Indonesian festivals are there around the globe, like, that you're aware of?
There are many. There's one in the United States that's very big. There's one in the Netherlands. There's another one in London, I believe. The one in Melbourne, of course, is the closest one to Indonesia itself.
Yeah.
The one in Melbourne was also the first one to start up again after the collapse of the Jakarta-based Indonesian Film Festival.
Of course, because it's been 13 years now.
That actually died out under Suharto.
Yeah?
It just faded away. No films were made during the latter part of the Suharto era.
Okay. Why so? Like, can you give people background about why that might have happened, if they're not familiar?
There was an industry monopoly by a select few exhibitors, and they tended to choose Hong Kong action movies and Hollywood action movies.
Right.
So there was not much support, no support for exhibition of Indonesian-made films.
Mm. Interesting, isn't it? Because I think just talking to friends the other day, how strong the Chinese film industry is these days, and they've got some pretty decent restrictions around international films being shown locally in Chinese cinemas to keep the industry strong and to help it keep growing. Like, I guess it comes down to different countries and their views on what's important and if the film industry is something that they should be focusing their attention on. But film industries like bring in a lot of money to the countries. It's important that they're, you know, strong and sharing the stories of their people, right?
Yes. The flip side of that with Indonesia was that the local film industry was so weak and there was no money flowing in to support it. So the president of Indonesia opened up the industry to foreign investment.
Right.
So now we can have investment from foreign companies in the exhibition sector. So there will be heaps more cinemas opening up across Indonesia. We have investment in the production and distribution side of it. So this will open up to a lot more collaborations and co-productions.
So it's going in the right direction then.
The industry is
growing.
But then the danger is that the foreign investors may develop the Indonesian film industry in such a way to suit their own products.
Right, yeah.
So the Indonesian film industry needs to be wary of also safeguarding local productions and making sure that all this influx of foreign capital doesn't ruin the local market.
Okay. It's fascinating. So who actually now runs the festival? Is it still the group of students?
It is indeed, yes. While I said that the original one was started by a media boss, the Indonesian Film Festival, as we know it now, as an annual event since 2006, that has always been run by the Melbourne University Indonesian Student Association.
Okay. So how's it funded? Like, do students get out there and rattle the tins, or is there another way of them making money? Is it a bit like the Good Friday appeal? People call in, give them cash?
Yeah.
It's not cheap, right? I mean, you've got some pretty decent venues there that you have to be paying. I'm assuming they don't give it to you for free, the space.
No. No, everything costs, and we've got a great venue, it must be said, and we're happy to pay for it. So our funding comes from government sources, such as the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade through the Australia-Indonesia Institute.
Okay. So the Australian government.
Yes.
Right?
Yep. Yes, the Australian government is one of our supporters. The Indonesian consulate supports us with certain things such as venue hire.
Okay.
We have certain real estate and local businesses which support us also with accommodation costs and venues for our pre-events.
Right. If you have support coming from, because, you know, a lot of film festivals are showcasing sort of cultural changes, social issues, all this sort of stuff, and you've got funding coming from, or support coming from our government, the Indonesian government, does that affect what can be shown at the festival? Do the students really get to choose for themselves what films they think should be shown, or is there a bit of influence there from other sources?
We've never been pressured by any of our funders, any of our sponsors or partners to screen or not screen any particular films.
Great, yep.
So our student body is allowed to choose any film that they want.
Okay, so the students can choose for themselves entirely.
Yes, it's totally up to the students' own choices.
Okay, students can be, you know, seen as radical sometimes and, you know, want to change the world. Do they have a general, would I say, you know, I guess the question is, do they have a more liberal mind of what viewpoint of what they want the festival to be, and do they want to challenge people, or do they sort of take the conservative path and try to keep the majority happy?
The students that we have here running the Indonesian Film Festival, they tend to be from very well-educated backgrounds already.
Right.
So they are aware of their own place in history and the larger history of the world and how media interacts with that. So what can I say? Traditionally, it's been said about PPIA that they are very conservative.
Right, yep.
Coming from the Jakarta elite, but amongst them there are some quite radical free thinkers, people who are strong individuals, and their focus does come through in our program. And also it has to be said that our committee tends to change every year. Some members stay on, but mostly we change. So we always have an influx of new, fresh ideas.
Fantastic. So would you say the main objective of the festival changes from year to year, or is it usually much the same?
It's given that the students do change, there are some different focuses that come through from year to year. But overall, the mission of the film festival is to raise awareness of the Indonesian film industry on an international level, to facilitate the growth of the film festival.
Yep. So still, I guess it's driven by the types of films that are getting made, you know, at this current point of time, rather than, you know, based on social change or cultural viewpoints and things like that.
We find now that there's always a very diverse selection of films each year. The range is so broad that indeed there are some films that cannot be shown in Indonesia. They tend to run afoul of the censorship board over there.
Right, yeah.
They could be things such as sexual issues, religious topics that may be on the fringes of what the leadership would like to see on screen.
Right, yeah.
Political issues. But given that a lot of filmmakers in Indonesia are now taking the route of independently producing their films rather than going through the censorship board,
right,
they can still get their films made, And the Indonesian Film Festival then offers them a very open and egalitarian platform where they can screen their films to the rest of the world.
So where some of the more sort of, I guess, liberal-minded filmmakers in the past might have been sort of tied down to having to release their films locally, maybe some of them are actually starting to produce their films for a wider audience and outside of Indonesia.
Yes, indeed, yeah. The film industry can be broadly divided into two groups.
Right, yeah.
There are the art house filmmakers who have gained a lot of recognition internationally on the movie, on the film festival circuit, and have had some limited distribution. And then there are the more commercial filmmakers who will find a great deal of support and favour back home. And in the case of a few select ones, they've also been able to break through into the into commercial success internationally, such as the Raid films, Merantau. The people involved in those films have also gone on to having careers in other countries, not just Indonesia.
We speak with a lot of film festivals. It always seems to be a challenge to get the balance right, to keep everyone happy. Does it pop up a lot? Like, is it quite a challenge for you to get the right balance? I mean, obviously, so many industries have so many different types of genres to present to people. You've got your mix of comedy, your serious films, your thrillers, whatever. Like, how do you get the balance right?
We're very happy to say that we haven't had any problems in the last couple of years trying to get a good eclectic selection.
Mm.
So the balance just works out right.
The Japanese festival usually come out swinging with a kooky, outrageous film to open it up, to just like, you know, get you walking out of the cinema and saying, I don't know what just happened. And you still don't really know what's happened 24 hours later when you're sitting there trying to, make sense of what you've seen on the big screen. Does the Indonesian Film Festival go for the same kind of thing? Do you try to get something that's thought-provoking or shocking or outrageous?
For the opening night?
For the opening night, yeah.
Oh, yes. Well, I think it's a good way to go for any film festival, to start with a bang.
Yeah. So, Ralph, what has been some of the positive feedback the festival's had over the years, and what are you most proud of?
Most proud that we're getting more Australians coming.
Right.
Apart from just supporting or trying to raise awareness of the Indonesian film industry, the mission of our film festival is also to bring Australia and Indonesia closer together. I mean, geographically, we are close neighbours.
Yeah.
But cognitively,
worlds
we're
apart.
Worlds apart.
What's gotten more locals to the event, and why weren't they going in the past?
In the past, the view of Indonesia was basically gleaned from the headlines, Bali bombing, drugs, radical politics, unstable economy. But now I would like to think with the Indonesian Film Festival painting a broader spectrum of what it's all about, we're getting more Australians coming and having a look.
It's an interesting thing, isn't it? Because you go to Bali every so often, and I see it as an extension to Australia. It's like an extra state just popped up there off the top, a little bit past Darwin. And so many Aussies go there, and you can walk down the streets and the majority of people in some areas are Australian. But then there seems to be a complete disconnect. They come home, they get back to work for the year, and they have no connection to the Indonesian culture and our neighbours. It's a bit sad, isn't it?
Yeah, well, hopefully with the Indonesian Film Festival, they can take back some of that. They can keep some of that here right in Melbourne.
The short film competition was on once again. Can you tell us about some of the films that were entered this year?
Oh, yeah, sure. We had a whole range of films. Actually, we had more than 100 entries.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that a mix of people that have, like Indonesian filmmakers globally, or is it just a pool of people that are based in Indonesia, or some filmmakers here?
The vast majority are based in Indonesia.
Yeah.
The competition is certainly open to the entire globe. So, yeah, we certainly get a selection of stuff from all around the world.
Cool.
Most of it does, however, come from within Indonesia.
Okay. So how do you shortlist that? You get that many entrants. How do you break it down? Do you get it to 10, 20?
Oh, once the entries are received, our program team curates that, pairs it down to the most promising ones based on their artistic merit, their originality, and anything else that's notable that makes them stand out.
Okay, yeah.
And then the pared down list of 10 is given to our professionally qualified judges, who then do the final selection.
Okay, cool. Fantastic. And so what made the cut this year?
Ah, Timbus.
Okay.
Which means win.
Right.
It's like an exclamation of, oh, I've won.
Okay.
And this particular short film takes a sort of comical look at the working class obsession with lottery gambling.
All right. Cool. And next?
That is the winner.
Oh, that was the winner.
That is the winner of our short film competition.
Okay.
And the winner can actually be seen here at our event, which is called Through the Lens.
Right.
And together with some other critically acclaimed short films that'll be screening there.
Fantastic. Well, we're going to have a little bit more of a chat about that in an upcoming podcast. Looking forward to that. But congratulations to those guys. And so were there any others that got a little bit close or?
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah? There were. Well,
it's what was your favourite, Ralph?
My own favourite was Timbus.
Okay. Oh, good. Fantastic.
We had some other films which were also excellent, such as exploring the plight of Papuan refugees.
Right.
But yes, Timbus won.
Okay. So was this one a bit more bubbly, a bit more uplifting, do you think? Is that what helps to give it the gong?
The winner, I would say, is kind of bittersweet.
Okay, yeah. I guess before we wrap up for this podcast today, can you give us a little bit of a brief look at the important dates coming up for the festival? Obviously, you've got the screenings themselves, the full-length movies, but there's a few pre-events as well, isn't there?
Yeah, yeah. Starting on this Saturday, we have a free open air screening happening at the Immigration Museum on Flinders Street. And all the information about all our events can be found on our website, which is iffaustralia.com.
And we'll obviously be sharing some of that on AsianPopRadio.com as well. You've got a Facebook page as well, Ralph?
Yes, indeed. So if you look on Facebook for Indonesian Film Festival, you'll find us there as well.
Too easy. Well, thank you so much for coming today. And I think I need to get you in a little bit later in the week to have a chat about Movies Under the Stars, because we're also going to be part of that, which is really exciting.
Glad to have you on board.
Thanks, Ralph. Ralph Dudat, Media Marketing Team at Indonesian Film Festival Australia, iffaustralia.com. Get your tickets for the events now.
You've just heard an Asian Pop Radio podcast. Hear more by subscribing to Asian Pop Radio on iTunes or head to AsianPopRadio.com to see more.